We're the Fair Intellectuals, a club of high degree. Ishbel and Alison and Gurween Marjorie. And we're all gone east and west, we're all gone IAG. Ishbel and Alison and Gurween Marjorie.
What time is it now, Ishbel?
Nearly half past. Wherever can Alison be?
Maybe I should use the time to repeat a few highlights from my talk of last week?
Please, Marjorie, no.
Then I could revisit my treatise on sores and boils of the Old Testament. I have it here somewhere.
Marjorie, it was horrific. I was unable to eat poached eggs for a week.
Ah, Miss Alison, finally.
My dear friends, apologies for my tardiness. My idiot brother Robert and his friends detained me. They are arranging a party for the feast day of St. Patrick.
A party on St. Patrick's Day?
What an unusual idea. I wonder if it will catch on.
I care not. I wish I could find some way to impress upon them the seriousness of life.
Get Marjorie to give them one of her lectures. That'll knock the wind out of their sails.
On that note, let us proceed. Ladies, it gives me great pleasure to host this meeting of the Fair Intellectual Club.
Well, really, I am hosting it. These are my chambers. I provided the bonbons.
Our subject for study this week is chemistry and the scientific method.
I trust that you have all read Mr. Robert Boyle's...
Not another
Mr. Robert Boyle's The Skeptical Chemist, as I requested.
Ah, well...
Not entirely.
It is quite a large volume.
And every page a joy. I've read it 8 times.
I have had little leisure this week, as my fiancé, Mr. Boggart, has decided we should tarry no longer and be wed.
Oh, Marjorie, how splendid! Preparations are finally afoot.
Well, at his age, I suppose to delay would be unwise.
Alison!
I simply speak the truth.
You are just jealous.
Absurd. The idea of marriage entirely appalls me.
Come, Alison. My mother always says that a woman should marry for love, at least once.
You have the wealth to indulge such romantic nonsense. Marjorie is merely being forced to provide an heir for a rich ancient widower.
Alison, please. There is much one can learn from the wisdom of age. You would be impressed by his thorough knowledge of the Old Testament.
He was quite possibly there when it was written.
So, the wedding date is set. You will be a June bride?
No, Mr. Boggart prefers not to marry in the summer as the heat causes his lip cankers to become pustulent. And last summer he developed sunstroke that led to a nasty case of quinsy. I shall be wed at Christmas, as long as the cold weather does not exacerbate his chilblains.
Ishbel, what has stopped you from reading Mr. Boyle's excellent work?
I have also been otherwise engaged. I am to sit for a painting, so naturally that has taken up all my time.
What possible work is involved in sitting for a painting?
Alison, you have no idea. I have been forced to eat almost constantly, supplementing my diet with goose fat to ensure a pleasing plumpness of arm, thigh and stomach.
You are so lucky that you can retain weight. I find that whatever I eat, I remain slender as a reed. And what lady in her right mind wishes to be thin?
Then, of course, I must wash my face in mercury and arsenic to ensure a pale and unlined complexion.
Ishbel, are you quite sure that these preparations are safe? For my experiments in the chemical arts, I do worry they may be hazardous to health.
Oh, Alison, of course it is safe. Surely not even the vainest of women would, for the sake of beautification, put a known poison into their face.
Of course.
Agreed.
I am particularly keen to look good for this painting, as this portrait painter hails from London.
Indeed?
Yes. He is from the capital city of our United Kingdom, so beloved to us since the recent joining of our two nations.
English.
Darling Alison, we know you have your reservations about the English.
Trouser-wearing imbeciles.
But... I have no doubt that you and the other doubter shall be won over before long.
Perhaps, Ishbel, if your English friends had supported us a little more over the Darien venture, Marjorie's father would not have lost his life savings and she would not be forced to marry Mr. Boggart.
I am in no way being forced to marry Mr. Boggart. It is a matter of mutual convenience and money has no bearing. Although I must confess, he has just gifted me £100.
£100? To someone as poor as you, that must seem like an absolute fortune. How will you spend it? Dresses? Ribbons? A pony? Some dresses and ribbons for your pony?
Think of the books you could afford. A complete edition of Newton's Ars Principia. A copy of Hairstyle's Zymotechnia Fundamentalis. Why, you could equip a science laboratory with such money.
Yes, or buy a really cracking hat for your pony.
No, I have promised my brother Alistair that he may have most of it. He wishes to train for the clergy.
Oh, well, yes, that is a noble use of it.
Maybe keep some by for the pony hat, though.
Quickly, hide all evidence of our learning. We cannot be discovered.
Oh, Milady Ishbel!
Yes, Kennedy? What is it? We were just talking of sewing and teacups and other womanly things and not science at all.
There's a man downstairs requires admittance. A Mr. Hagar. Hogwart. No, Hogarth. Ah, that's it! Mr. Hogarth. He seems to be from London, so I've taken the precaution of hiding the silver.
My painter! Send him up immediately, Kennedy.
What? Must our meeting be invaded by a man?
But he is an artist. We may learn much from him.
He is naught but a brush for hire, and an English one at that.
Ladies, may I introduce Mr. William Hogarth?
Actually, it's Hogarth. Right. Which one of you am I painting?
Tis I, Mr. Hogarth.
Your father booked the basic package, one full-size portrait and two miniatures for 10 guineas. I want the money up front.
I thought you could paint me in the garden.
Outdoor work is 4 shillings extra.
Splendid. I'll just go and recurl my eyelashes. Marjorie, would you be a dear and help me?
Of course.
I need someone to test that the iron is not too hot. And if your eyelashes fry, it shall be no loss.
It's extra for eyelashes.
Alison, you can keep Mr. Hogarth company for a few moments.
Nothing would give me greater pleasure.
I sense you disapprove of me, madam.
Nonsense. Why ever would I disapprove of you? A mercenary scribbler from London.
We must all make a living.
Oh, must we? I am not permitted to choose a profession. It is only men who have that luxury. You choose to be a painter, my father chooses to be a lawyer, and my brother Robert wishes to be a politician. Imagine Robert a politician. He is entirely self-interested, ill-informed, and out of touch with everyone but his own little bunch of cronies.
Sounds eminently qualified to me.
If I were allowed to study composition, colour, light and shade, to have all your learning and skill at my fingertips, then I would not waste it on churning out pretty portraits of noble women. I would paint what I see.
But that is what I do.
No, you paint people as they wish to be seen.
If I painted what I truly wished, then who would buy it?
If you painted what you truly wish, then what would it matter? Your soul would be enriched, if not your purse.
Oh, you are a fascinating woman. Would you let me paint you?
You would do it for free.
Let's not go mad. How about we say, 5 guineas? Actually, 1 shilling extra for the chin.
Mr. Hogarth!
What? That is going to use a lot of paint.
Now, Mr. Hogarth.
Hogarth.
I am all prepared, my lashes curled. I propose I sit for you in the ballroom. The light is most becoming and will bring out my flesh tones admirably.
Actually, I don't really feel like painting now. The muse has deserted me.
How much would a new one cost?
No, this isn't about money. It's about something else entirely.
Then we shall start tomorrow. Another day will give me more time to rearrange my glorious bosom. If that doesn't get your juices flowing, I don't know what will.
I must go now. Thank you for your words, Miss Alison. You've given me much to think on. Much.
What on earth did you say to him?
No, nothing. We were just speaking of painting and painters.
Ladies, let's get back to my chambers. I must have more goose fat if my buttocks are to achieve a pleasing heft.
Later on!
Later on!
Later on!
Sorry to disturb your lady business. Good God! Ishbel, what happened to your face?
I'm having my portrait painted. I may have applied a little more makeup than usual.
You look like father's whore. And why has Marjorie got no eyelashes?
Robert!
Oh, hi, sis. I require your assistance urgently.
Is it your shoelaces again, Robert?
No. Got the maid to do them up good and tight this morning, and I'm not taking my shoes off all month, so no more problems there. I've made a wager with the other chaps, and I think I might have been a little ambitious.
Is this like the time you gambled our best horse that you could sneeze with your eyes open? Or when you bet a guinea that you could lick your own elbow?
I still reckon I could do that, actually. Do you think if I tied a brick to my tongue and stretched it...
No, Robert. What have you wagered this time?
Some of the fellows in my club were talking about the elixir of life.
The celebrated substance that confers eternal youth on anyone who imbibes
it. Yes, and the thing is...
Magical liquid derived from the legendary philosopher's stone.
Yeah.
Sought throughout time by the most gifted alchemists of the day, all of whom have found their quest fruitless.
Yes, that's the one. So, I've told them I've discovered it.
You said you held the recipe for the elixir of life.
We were all trying to outdo each other for the St. Patrick's party, you see. Duncan Bosworth is going to dress as a leprechaun and do this dance where you don't move your arms. It's hysterical. I had to top that.
Robert, the elixir of life. It's impossible.
Ah, now, I do have a bit of a head start. Monty McLeish has sold me a big copper cauldron and he's given me a book of spells. Look.
Robert, this is a Greek dictionary.
Is it? Monty told me it was genuine wizard stuff. And he gave me all these magic beans.
This is just barley, Robert.
Magic barley?
No.
Oh, bum.
How much have you wagered on this?
Not much.
How much?
£100.
What?
But if you succeed, we will get £100.
How can I succeed? Given the ingredients you have, the only thing I could make would be some form of intoxicating beverage.
Ooh, what was that? Intoxicating what?
With a copper cauldron and some simple pipes, I could distill a crude version of Ushgaba, as it has come to be known in our nation.
Whiskey? I've always longed to try some. You could make it.
In theory, yes. But of course I would never do such a thing.
Why not?
Whiskey is a poison. To imbibe it would be utter folly.
I have heard it causes men to lose their reason, to blur fact and fiction.
To sing loudly and drop their trousers.
Precisely. Of what interest could that ever be?
But it has excellent medicinal uses. Marjorie could take it to her father's ailing parishioners. Maybe a small glass would aid Mr. Boggart's weak chest.
Quite possibly. It might even alleviate his edemic dropsy. Although it may aggravate his hemorrhoids.
I categorically refuse.
I understand, dear sister. In fact, you are doing your patriotic duty as a good British woman by refusing.
British woman? Whatever do you mean?
Well, of course, since the glorious union of our nation with England, whisky is now taxed by the excisemen from London. To produce it without licence from the English would be an extraordinary act of rebellion against our beloved English government.
Right, I'll do it. Robert, give me that barley. Ishbel, you are wicked.
What just happened?
Your dear sister is preparing elixir vitae. The elixir of life, just as you requested.
Ha! Oh, bing bong! That is skills.
Somewhere in Edinburgh, sometime later on.
Right. So, having discarded the first runnings, then this remaining liquid should be drinkable at least. Robert, leave me alone!
It is not Robert, madam.
Mr. Hogarth, whatever are you doing in my chamber?
Hogarth, forgive my intrusion, Miss McGregor. I had to find you. I so wish to speak with you again. I am wearied of being in the pay of wealthy families. They do not see the squalor and misery all around. How I long to capture the inequality, the hypocrisy. But I must not talk so.
No, please. We are in absolute accord. Most of the men I meet are nincompoops. I feel an exciting sense of fellowship with you, Mr. Hogarth.
Hogarth, I have these past days been scribbling some observations of contemporary society.
Oh, please let me see. You have an excellent eye for caricature and a profound moral sense. The public must see this.
Oh, no, no, this must never be published. I depend for my livelihood on the patronage of the very wealthy fools that I would satirise. Shallow, trivial, dunderheaded pleasure seekers.
Did somebody call me? Hello, sis.
Begorra, bejesus, to be sure, to be sure.
How's the St. Paddy's hooch coming along?
Oh, Robert. Robert, this is Mr. Hogarth.
Sir?
Mr. Hogarth is a painter, Robert. No, more than that. He is a satirist.
Oh, right. So he's foreign. What's this picture?
It's a remarkable comment on society, Robert.
You should try something a bit cheerier. Oh, Monty McLeish does this thing where he draws a rabbit eating a candle and you turn it upside down and it looks like a lady undressing. You can see a rootsie and everything.
Incredible. I wonder that Mr. McLeish is not more well-known in the arts. May I ask, sir, why have you painted your face green?
Just trying out a few things for St. Patrick's Day. Is the stuff ready, Alison?
It is, Robert. I hope your friends approve. Please be careful with it. There are 10 bottles here. I'm keeping one back for Ishbel and Marjorie.
You are a marvel, sis.
Hooray and bagora and top of the morning.
This is going to be a great Paddy's Day, knees up. Sign us,
to be sure. Yes.
He is your brother.
I believe he was dropped on his head as a baby.
Oh.
Onto cobblestones.
Oh.
Repeatedly.
Ah. If me tiddly doodle am a da, me tiddly doodle am a da, and he writes back to the laddie, oh. There's whiskey in the jar.
I presume with a further 7 days at your disposal, you will finally all have read Mr. Boyle's The Skeptical Chemist.
I was tragically too busy sitting for the portrait. Mr. Hogarth paints away furiously, but will not show me his progress. He just mutters things about decadence and my moral laxity. I don't know which part of me that is, but he seems very fixated on it.
I'm quite sure Mr. Hogarth will have rendered you perfectly, Ishbel. He is a gifted artist.
You've changed your tune on him. Perhaps at last our Alison has succumbed to love's fatal charm.
Oh, if only he had money enough to abandon these petty portraits and concentrate on his satires. Poor man. I said to Mr. Hogarth...
Isn't it Hogarth?
No, it is not. Mr. Hogarth, with whom you have been sitting every day for the last week, in which time you might have mastered the pronunciation of his name. Mr. Hogarth seeks to produce art that makes society examine itself. None of us should shy away from our flaws.
I should not hesitate to confront my flaws, if I had any.
Do you never yearn to transcend the superficial?
Oh, good Lord, no. Mr. Hogarth wishes to unveil my portrait tomorrow morning. I've invited the cream of Edinburgh society, but you two can come as well if you like.
We have wasted the afternoon with chatter. There is scarce time to begin my talk on Mr. Boyle's chemical experiments.
How is your recent experiment progressing, Alison?
Oh, the whiskey. It was a simple enough procedure.
You finished? Where is it?
I have a bottle here for you that you may deliver a few doses to the sick.
Should we not sample it? Purely to ascertain its fitness for the deserving poor.
You may. It holds no interest for me. I concur with Shakespeare when he asks why... Men should put an enemy in their mouths to steal away their brains.
Did not the bard also say, go on, have a drink, what harm can it do?
I do not recall it. Which work is that?
It's from the Merry Midsummer's King of As You Want It, or something. Anyway, here goes. Oh! That is... Oh, James. Marjorie, will you try some?
Oh, a tiny sip. I can't see this catching on in Scotland.
Come on, Alison. Just a nip, eh? Don't you want to stick it to the Englishmen? They don't want us to drink this.
I think the production of it was rebellion enough.
Where is your Scottish fighting spirit? Refuse this and hundreds of years hence, your countrymen may still be under the yoke of English rule.
Right, give me that bottle.
I think that might be enough.
That is very warming.
Should we proceed to your talk, Alison?
One more. Alison, I really think...
They may take our whiskey, but they'll never take our freedom. Isn't that right, ladies?
ladies, forgive my intrusion, but Alison has explained to me the purpose of your society and your secret is safe with me. I was wondering if I might sit in and...
Oh, never mind about that. It's so great to see you. Oh, come here. Give me a cuddle. Oh, you're great. Isn't everything wonderful?
Miss McGregor, have you quite lost your mind? Are you drunk? I took you for a lady of reason and moral principle.
Oh, loosen up your corset strings, Grandma. You're an artist. An art is about self-expression.
I thought we agreed it was about showing society in all its naked horror.
Oh, naked? Oh, that's a very good idea. Hang on, I'll just pop this off.
Oh, no. No, 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 please, desist.
Alison, put that back on.
Stop.
Hand me rifle two, already. There's whiskey in the jar. Unhand me. I'm fine. I love you. Shut up.
With me, tiddly and doodle-a-ma-da. Me, tiddly and doodle-a-ma-da. And me rightful to Renadio. There's whiskey in the jar.
Alison.
Oh. Alison.
Alison, wake up.
What? Oh. Oh, my head. Oh, I am quite fatigued. And Ishbel, why am I here in your house rather than at my own home? And where are my clothes? And why am I holding a riding crop? What happened?
Mr. Hogarth requested that we put you to bed as he was scared for his own safety. As were we all.
I tried to put a nightdress on you, but you refused.
Why ever would I do that?
You said it would hamper your dancing.
Dancing?
You cannot remember the dancing?
No.
Nor the singing?
No.
So, mercifully, you won't remember the impersonation of the Duke of Rothsay.
Oh, I have behaved shamefully. I vaguely recall Mr. Hogarth being there. He is such a moral man, he will surely disapprove.
Do not fret. He is about to unveil his painting of Ishbel. Then he shall surely go back to London and we can forget the whole business.
Ladies and gentlemen of Edinburgh, welcome to my chambers. Of course, some of you may have been here before. Lovely to see you all again. Particularly you, sir. Now, I am so very lucky to have had my likeness captured by Mr. Hogarth.
Hogarth.
Whatever. And I take great pleasure in unveiling this portrait of what I am sure you will agree is the most attractive lady in Edinburgh society. Mr. Hogarth, what is this aberration?
Well, after last night, I thought, should I paint you, Ishbel, who represents the morally empty heart of Edinburgh society?
I thought you liked my moral laxity.
Or you, Marjorie, daughter of a hypocritical clergyman who has sold you off to an ancient wealthy man like a common prostitute.
Mr. Boggart, are you going to stand here and let me be insulted?
And now you've set off poor Mr. Boggart's seeping pleurisy.
I'm feeling quite rough as well.
And then I thought, no. The worst betrayal of all is that of the apparently moral and upstanding woman who abandons her principles for the demon drink.
Is that me? Why, yes, it is a picture of you, Alison, but rendered as a base and debauched drunkard.
With a more than passing resemblance to the Duke of Rothsay. This is so unfair.
I painted what I saw.
Yes, indeed you did. I cannot sadly object to this representation, as I am indeed the drunken harlot in the picture. The world must know.
It is quite a work, Mr. Hogarth. I wish to buy this painting, and I will give you £100 for it.
£100? That is quite a fair price.
I trust that amount of money will allow you to abandon portraiture and concentrate on your satirical works.
It will.
And I would ask you not to recreate this picture.
Why, madam?
It seems unfair to brand Alison as a figurehead of inebriation. Surely this work would have more impact if it portrayed the degenerates of London?
You think so?
Aye, and our glorious capital city of London is surely more deserving of your attention than this dull, rain-drenched northern province.
Who What interest could there be in ridiculing us foolish, boring Scots with our quaint ways? Far better turn your eye to the sophisticates of London.
I believe you may be right. I stand to make more impact in satirising my hometown.
I hear that whole streets are awash with drunks. What a scene that would make. And may I assure you, you'd never see that here in Scotland.
Thank you, ladies. You have provided me with great inspiration. And, Alison, I am sorry if I distressed you, but I was only painting the truth, however unpalatable.
I understand, Mr. Hogarth. Good day.
Good day, ladies.
Marjorie, thank you for saving my reputation.
It was nothing.
But your money.
Blackfoot tour, my laddie, there's whiskey in the jar. Good news. The chaps of my society were blown away with your elixir of life, Alison. Duncan Bosworth can't see, and Charlie Parsons lost a leg. What a party. The £100 wager is ours.
How very opportune. You must give the money to Marjorie. May I ask what you intend to do with Mr. Hogarth's picture?
I shall burn it immediately. I can use the frame to good effect, though, to display this intimate portrait of himself that Mr. Bogart has given me. Look.
Oh, dear God.
Oh.
Is there any of that whiskey left?
Perhaps he would prefer to be called Mr. Bogart, like that silly painter.
Don't be daft, Humphrey Bogart. What kind of ridiculous name is that?
Oh, Marjorie.
You're leading me astray over hills and mountains into America. You're sweeter, stronger, dacenter, you're spunkier than.
The Fair Intellectual Club is written by Lucy Porter and directed by Marilyn Imrie. It starred Jessica Hardwick as Alison, Caroline Dager as Ishbel, Samara McLaren as Marjorie, Simon Donaldson as Robert, Gordon Kennedy as Kennedy, and Gus Brown as Mr. Hogarth. The music is arranged and played by Ali McCrae. The producer is Gordon Kennedy, and it is an Absolutely production for BBC Radio 4.
There's whiskey in the jar.